B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour, brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie party trays, every bit as good. Yeah, get some takeout at Core Police. It's awesome. All right, so we have the NFL draft. It's coming up, and there is some kind of plan in place. We don't know what the finished product's going to look like for the NFL draft, but let's tap into the knowledge of the man who's been around the league for a long time, is an executive, and is also, of course, the head of the Morehead School of Sports Law at Villanova University. He's the great Andrew Brand. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, good to be with you, Mike, Tyrone, Natalie. Hope you all are staying safe, being healthy.
And you as well. So let's talk about this draft. And, yeah. And what, like, I have no idea. It's going to be interesting, actually, to see if it comes off. Like, part of the intrigue is beyond the draft. It's whether the technology is going to let it come to us. So how do you feel about the way they're going to do this? And what are your fears?
Well, you hope the past 2 weeks and the next 2 weeks, everybody's getting used to it. You got the IT guy coming by the GM's house twice a week. You got people getting ready in their stations where they're going to be on draft night. I mean, you would think this could be handled. Everybody's doing their jobs. The scouting guys are calling their contacts for possible trades. You're just not together. But you do worry about some computer issues because of people not being conversant in this, their daily life. You know, football guys are into scouting and they're into coaching and they're into watching film and they're into play calling and they're not into computers. Now, that's not to say they're going to push a wrong button and draft a wrong guy. I think it's, you know, it's safe to say there are going to be some kind of glitches, not at that level, but it's safe to say I don't think this will go completely smooth.
Well, they're going to have a dress rehearsal, right?
Yes, of course.
So I got to ask you this, because now we're in the social distancing thing. You're supposed to do this alone and remote, right? Is there going to have to be an IT guy with every one of these general managers?
I don't know how that works with social distance, but maybe if not physically next to him, maybe down the hall or some kind of hotline guy that's right there anytime he needs him. Listen, we're painting sort of a negative picture. If it becomes an issue, you text Roger Goodell and say, we want this guy. You know what I mean? It's like, you can make the right call.
Well, you have to do it. See, this is what I think they should have done in the first place. Just text the commissioner, we're taking this guy. Instead of making this big production.
But I have made a little fun of it on Twitter lately, because I do think we're talking about people that run, as I've said, $2 billion assets, all of them. Some, you know, Cowboys, others, maybe $4 or $5 billion assets. And here we are debating whether they know how to operate a computer. If you start thinking about that,
the old school football guys, Andrew. Yeah, they didn't grow up with the computer era. These dudes.
I've seen some of it, you know. And as the guy that handled the cap and contracts and had to go into all these programs and do all that, you know, I've had coaches and GMs look over my shoulder, like, you know, give me the look, like, oh my God, how do you do that? But I will say this. Having said what I just said, when you do cap and contracts, and Howie Roseman knows this, you enter in everything into a very secure VPIN website that only the NFL Management Council and you see, and when your data is entered, the other teams get to see it as well. And that, through my 10 years, was very secure. So I don't know why we're talking about security issues. I guess we're in a different age, and you've got Zoom bombing out there and porno coming up on Zoom calls. But it seems to me this has been around for a while, where they've had secure sites beyond what anyone else can get into.
Yeah, but there's always a smarter guy out there. And so when John Harbaugh says that he's afraid of something being hacked by some hacker out there messing up the whole works, how viable is that?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a direct correlation with age here, and I'm being age biased. I admit it. You know, I got my kids home, so I can be that way. That are, like, you know, the older GMs are going to have more of a problem with this. The younger guys, I think, you know, Cleveland hired a GM 28 years old. He's probably the most conversant. and doing things this way.
For the Steelers to have the edge then, I guess. Now, well, speaking of the Steelers, their GM, Kevin Colbert, and this is kind of fair, I think. You know, the general manager's committee wanted more time on this. They didn't get more time, so they can't look at these guys and eyeball them. So he says, okay, well, then three more draft picks for us. So, you know, the more we get, the more chances we're going to hit on one guy that makes up for the other things we didn't get. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like a good idea, but good luck with that. You know, trying to push that through in 2 weeks, a major rule change or three more rounds. Let me say this. The most busy hour of the year for NFL front offices is the hour after the draft ends, because then these hundreds of players that weren't drafted are all trying to be scooped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there as an agent. I've been there as a team. You got two guys on the line. If one goes away, you got another one. You don't know if you're offering to the first guy or the second guy, and it happens within seconds and minutes. And careers are made in those matters of second if you pick the right team. So agents and teams, more than ever, are really going to be sort of trying to lock in, hey, if your guy's not drafted, we got him, right? Even though you're, quote, not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's happening right now.
Yeah, well, what would be the downside of adding three more draft picks? I mean, the union would have to be okay with that, right? Because that's three more people to get an opportunity.
Yeah, and it's interesting how the union would react to that, because I think the union would be against it. And my reasoning is, let these guys pick their teams. Okay, they didn't get drafted. They're apoplectic. They thought they should get drafted. Let them pick their teams and their best opportunity rather than going to a no-win situation where rounds 8 through 10 are really going to be unlikely to make the team.
Hmm. Interesting.
But, you know, after the draft stuff, I told you these stories before, Mike, that one time where I... Well, first of all, there's one year where everyone's sitting around trying to sign guys, and some scout yells out, hey, anybody like this guy Tony Romo? And then we're all like, who? Yeah, he's from Wisconsin. He loves Brett. You know, like, I'm like, no, we don't want Tony Romo. You know? So the funniest story of all with this is that you never know who these guys are. They don't have agents. I talked to one guy. I said, listen, okay, we're going to sign you, and the bonus is going to be $1,000. And he pauses forever. And I said, you okay? You good? He says, you know, Mr. Brandt, I only have 200 now, but I'll get you the other 800 when I get there. And I said, no. We pay you.
that's hysterical.
So he was my favorite coming in. I think he lasted a week or something.
This was a guy he signed after the draft, a free agent. A guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. So let me ask you this question, because here's the thing that's been bugging me about this whole thing, because I'm so obsessed with this social distancing now. And having this draft and having it in this form still puts the player on the screen.
Yeah.
And because of that, it becomes like a party atmosphere, which, and you know, even though these guys are told to social distance, you know that that is a chance for people to come over. And in fact, there's a line set in Vegas, the number of people that will be on the screen with the player selected, the over-under is 9.5.
Mm.
So, like, I've been against total player involvement. I think that would discourage these gatherings, but maybe I'm overthinking it.
I think it's a good point. You know, what we're not going to have in the draft beyond the teams, you know, being there or the gathering is the green room. And you know, the green room has got the agents, it's got the family, it's got the advisor, it's got the college coach, it's got the high school coach sometimes. We're not going to have that, but you bring up the point that we are going to have that. It's just going to be in their couch with the TV webcam on. And you wonder, you make a good point. Like, is there going to be advisory to these players? Like, you can hug your mom, but, you know, let's sort of keep it there.
Yeah, and they will try to be sly about it. They'll go, okay, get out of the frame. And meanwhile, there are 10 people that are gathered in the dining room.
Yeah, yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, I do think you will see players that get picked, and you look, you know, again, it could happen when the camera's off, but it's just kind of them. And maybe one other, dad or mom or whatever, but you will see some of that.
Yeah, and I'm saying if they weren't involved, then maybe you don't have the party. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Last question. I'm going to put you in the Eagles draft room. And you're a personnel guy, and you're advising the Eagles. Where is list your priorities here for them?
Well, playmaking receiver, and they picked a great year. I mean, whatever you've guys been talking about, everyone's been talking about with Jeffrey, can't trade him, whatever it is, they're getting one. You know, they're getting one. This is the year. And you talk about teams that they picked 2020 to have a strong need of receiver. There are, what I'm told, six or seven that are clearly first-round talent.
Mm-hmm.
So
would you be more inclined to sit there and you know you're going to get one, or would you be inclined to everybody, you know, everybody evaluates, and the top three are pretty well known to draft evaluators. Would you go up and get one of those, or you're okay at 21?
Yeah, that's what their evaluation is telling them right now. They're telling them you got to get one of these three, or we're good, and they know. You and I don't know, but they know exactly how they feel, and they know which one they want. And if they can be comfortable with two or three, just let it come to them. But, you know, been around the Eagles a long time. We all have, and they're aggressive. So I can see them seeing one of the guys that they didn't think would be there in the teens and moving for him, taking a mid-round pick, taking whatever they need to get there. You know, and only having to give up a 3 and a 5 for Slay gives them ammunition. They didn't have to give up real, truly valuable properties there.
What would be your advice as a football team executive on how to wriggle out of the Jeffrey situation?
If you decide you're going to move him, you're going to have to pay. You know, and I know you have the big cap expense, but I think a team taking him on is not worried about your cap expense. That's your problem. They're worried about the cash expense, and they probably don't value him the way that he's paid accordingly. So if you want to get out of this, you've got to take a lot of pain. Pain on the cap and probably pain on the contract. Have to bonus them out, take on some money before you get rid of them. I just think they've made a choice here. Maybe it's because of circumstance. He's here.
You really think so?
I just don't think you're going to get any kind of value.
And they're not going to bite the financial bullet.
If they got the value, they would. I do think that. I mean, they paid Sam Bradford $11 million and traded him.
But you know, as an executive, sometimes it can be an untenable situation to chance bringing him back, right? So I'm just curious, like, how the logical thinker thinks in a situation like this.
Well, I see through things that are said. You know, when Howie made a point in his, whatever, his web interview, what he was really saying is, we accept it. We got him. We're here. You know, like,
yeah.
In other words, we tried. We looked at different things. We tried to trade. We understand the cap situation. We made our bed last year, and we're in. Now, all the gossipy stuff, who knows? I mean, can they get past that? Him and Carson have a intervention? You know,
how much of a factor is that for you? Like, how much would it be for you?
We didn't like it. You know, when things got to that level, it would bubble up to the front office. A lot of that stuff stays in the locker room. But when it came to the front office, I use that word. We had a couple of those interventions where two players or a player and a coach would come in and you said, we can't have this. Okay? Uh-huh. So you're not getting cut. You're not getting cut. You're not getting traded. You're not getting traded. Work it out. Work it out. All now.
Right. All right. We'll see what happens. Andrew, always a pleasure. Hang in there, and we'll talk up the road.
Likewise. Same to you guys.
All right. There is Andrew Brandt on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. All right. Let's get back to the phones with Drew in Philly. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I called up when I heard that list, that first poll, people having sports number one. That, to me, that was a little mind-blowing. I don't see how sports could be that high on your list. I would think it would have to be at least minimum 3 or 4.
Yeah, I would think. But it's coming into a nice number 2, the way this poll looks like right now. So we got an update coming in 15 minutes, and we'll see what Nat has to say about that.
I don't see, like, to me, I would be able to say family first, job second, because you need a job to live, money, take care of your family, and then 3 or 4, depending on how you feel about religion, but I would put sports 3, and to me, that would be the top 3.
Yeah, I get it. There are a lot of people out there that may not put God on the list. Maybe they're not religious, but to me, there's always got to be. See, God, in whatever form you look at, represents hope to me. And so that's got to be a high priority. Hope in your life has to always be a priority. So that's why I got sports fourth.
And I don't even really like my job that much when I got that number.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's there are a lot of people that don't like, you know, I mean, percentage of people that like their jobs, which, what would you think it would be? 20%?
Probably.
Yeah, it's probably around there. Now, it's hard not to like our job, right? So we're talking about sports. How could we be miserable about talking about sports? But there are a lot of people out there that grind out legitimate jobs that are laborious, and it's tough.
Yes, it is.
All right, man. Do you want a general knowledge question here?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's see. What did we left? All right, so it's top 100 Major League Baseball players of all time. Now, number 11. Number 11, we had 10 with Stan Musial. Number 11 retired in 2009. The Red Sox was his major team, but he did wear Philly pinstripes.
Jim Thome?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Thome?
Jim Thome?
Yeah.
No, he was not. He was not a Red Sox. Number 11, 2009, Red Sox, you got him?
Nah.
He's a pitcher.
Right. Oh, Schilling?
Nope.
No, Red Sox, what Red Sox?
Red Sox pitcher, retired 2009.
Oh, Pedro.
There you go. Pedro Martinez. The pitchers are in this list for future reference.
Yeah, he's underranked.
At 11?
Yep.
What? Pedro. Wait, ho. First of all, you're talking about, you can't name 9 great players?
What I'm saying is,
Pedro is in the top 9?
To me, I can make a pretty solid argument he's the best pitcher to ever live.
Well, he is ranked that way.
Oh, if he's ranked number 1.
No, he's not ranked number 1. He's ranked number 2 pitching-wise. But most of the time, you're going to think of an everyday player first.
I get it.
And the great ones just pop out of your head. I mean, you can't.
I get that. He's ahead behind Mays or Ruth. Ruth with an asterisk.
Mays.
Asterisk. Not for Mays. No asterisk for Mays.
Keep going. Ruth, Mays.
We got Aaron. You got you got Mantle, DiMaggio, there's somewhere
in
there.
No, DiMaggio's not in the top 10. Mantle's absolutely.
In the top 10. Do they have Griffey?
Left-handed hitter.
You talking about Barry Bonds?
Barry Bonds.
They got Griffey in there?
No, but another left-handed hitting outfielder, older school.
Which one's
Come
it
on,
have?
Man.
You talking about Frank Robinson?
No, he hit 406.
Oh, Teddy
ball game.
Yeah, that's see.
The pride of the Yankees.
The pride of the
Yankees. Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, see, Ruth and Gehrig shouldn't be in the top 10. He also shouldn't be in the top 10. If you played before it was integrated, you can't be in the top 10. They should be in the top 10.
That's what I give. You can't put Pedro Martinez ahead of any of those guys.
No, he should be the number 1 pitcher, though.
Yeah, Walter Big Train Johnson's the number 1 pitcher.
Come on. Pedro pitched in the steroid era. Got everybody out.
The train was unhittable.
In 1902?
The train was throwing 100.
In what year?
When did he retire, Walter Johnson? 27.
This guy, how were they measuring it? With a car? How'd you know he was doing 100? All right, I'm going to rev the engine. They didn't have a car that went that fast.
I don't know, but they said the train could bring it.
They said he could. He'd throw it by guys, but throwing by guys who, come on.
All right, let's go to Dennis in Springfield. Dennis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dennis.
Oh, man, you touched on so much stuff. But I'll take Steve Carlton and Nolan Ryan over Pedro any day of the week.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You
got to look at all their numbers. I haven't looked. Yeah, of course, but Pedro was dominant, too. They're all dominant, but you got to look at the numbers and how they play out. You might have a case for that. I don't know. I have to look at Pedro's numbers.
All right, now, growing up in Port Richmond, our Mount Rushmore was the Pope, Cardinal Kroll, Lech Walesa, and Mrs. Paul Stiszczyk, Ed Cizek.
There you go. Because
you put him up with them three, you got something.
You were in a Polish neighborhood.
Yep.
Yeah, he was a big name in the Polish neighborhood.
Oh, he was huge. He was huge. Him and Cardinal Carroll were best friends.
Yeah, they were. And then he was friends with the Pope.
Yep.
And he was friends with Lech Walesa.
Yep.
And what was the Pope's name? Right, John Paul? Was it the Polish Pope? What was it? The Polish guy? I don't know. I lose track of my popes.
Pope John. His last name began with a W.
Yeah.
Before he became the Pope.
Come on, man.
Pope
John. You got good Pope. You're supposed to have good Pope knowledge. You got better Pope knowledge than me. You got to get the Polish Pope. You're a Polish guy. You got to get the Polish Pope.
I think it was
John Paul II.
Carl was he here? Something like that.
Yeah, Carol. Carol. I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. John Paul II.
Now, as far as the sports thing go, with me, it's a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I mean, I was all in. I was a nut job. I loved all our teams. I lived and died with them. As I got older, and as I got older than the players, I still watch, I still root, but I'm not a nut job about it. And yeah. And the thing that led me to that is I have a 15-year-old son who has zero interest in sports. And I watch him. And when it's tearing me up that the Eagles lose or the Sixers lose, he could care less. And I think to myself, there's hundreds of thousands of people just like him that it really doesn't matter if the Sixers lose a 7-game series or if they win a 7-game series. I mean, the Super Bowl, I was beyond myself, ecstatic. And he's like, oh, what's the big deal about?
Yeah, but here's the thing. And I hear that because kids have major distractions that take them away from sports, right? Well, when they get older, they come right back to it.
I hope so.
It's just a product of you. It's a product until you're like 20, you know? You get in your 20s and in your 30s. It's because sports then becomes part of your everyday life because now you're working a job and you need that sports release and escape. So you go naturally gravitate back to it.
And I got a guy to add to your talent list, and it's a shame. I mean, it's hard to prove this position, like how much skills you have or how gifted you are.
Yeah.
But he was on his way to a Hall of Fame career, that's Jerome Brown.
Yeah, he had very good tools.
But you're not going to see him throw the ball. You're not going to see him catch the ball.
No, that's why I have Reggie White on it, though. Can tell.
And
like
Reggie White were like 1 and 1A in my book.
Yeah, you look at the athletic skills at that particular position and what they could do athletically. We missed a major one, and I missed a major one.
Which one?
Randall.
Yeah, Randall had a lot of tools. The brain party was missing a little bit of that. Little nut.
Yes.
Michael Jackson room.
Yeah, but Randall. Here's a guy with tools that I could never figure out how he didn't become a great player. And that was Von Hayes.
Wow.
I looked at Von Hayes and I go, he's got everything you need to be a star player. And a guy who actually proved that more than Von Hayes was Jason Worth.
Yeah.
As far as tools go.
Yeah. Because it took Worth a while to figure it out, too, though. He was a late bloomer. Took
but
a while to put it together.
Look at all his tools. He had a fluidity to him. He's a good defender. He could run.
Decent arm from the outfield.
And Von Hayes, I used to look at Von Hayes. I go, why isn't that dude better? Never figure it out.
It's mental, right? When that happens?
I don't know. I can't. He's the one mystery. 610-632-0975. Two lines are up. A good time to get in. General Knowledge Wednesday. Big prizes today. Also, we have a 2 o'clock winner was Mike Castanaro. Mike won the Hers chip truck. So we have four left. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30. This is the all-important Twitter poll update on the question we have today that kind of involves unit code God Country. Natalie Eganoff, it's brought to us by Paul McMoyer and Sons. Nat, what do you got?
All right, Mike, today's poll, over 1,700 votes on it so far. Where do sports rank in your life? 21% say fourth, 23% say third, 26% say second, and in the lead, 30% say first. So,
well, people still... Tyrone and not making them happy. 30 is the decline, though, from where we started.
But it's still 56% are first and second.
Yeah, fourth is in last. Like fourth is in, you would think a few more people might put some other things. What this tells me is that I knew football was beating church. Now I think football is like blowing church away. Because you can, there's if you care about God, I'm saying if you do, then sports cannot be higher than third.
Yeah.
And the fact that fourth, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are not really. I don't know what that says about our society. People will get up. I'm just saying, if you care about God at all, there's no way sports can be.
Man, we care more about Joel Embiid than God, apparently.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so then let me, we get these callers, right? Like, Mike, you'll come on after a bad game, and you'll say that player had the bad game.
Right.
And then the next game, if he has a good game, you'll say he bounced back from a bad game and had a good game.
Right.
Now it makes sense to me why so many people will let it linger, like on the negative. If this is everything to you, you'll hate Joel Embiid for having a bad game, or this for Ryan Howard. No wonder people hate Ryan Howard. He broke their hearts. That was the most important thing in their lives.
Yes. And the genesis of this whole thing was like what we talked about yesterday, where we had some people. It was a very small minority of people. We got to start baseball. Like, they agreed with this ridiculous plan where they would start baseball in May. I thought it was hysterical and foolish. But people really took it to heart. It's like now they're starting to think about whether it's possible. And people are out. And they're playing pickup basketball games. And they're all walking on the trails.
Yeah. People don't want to do it. And now you have a bunch of people. Oh, real fast. There are, because this is going to come up with a caller before the show's over. With this coronavirus, they're talking about how if you die of something else, they still call it coronavirus. People are calling it a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. Let's say you had a heart condition, right?
Uh-huh.
And someone broke into your house and scared you, and you had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
What killed you was the heart attack, technically, but the person breaking in the house is what killed you?
Yeah.
So when they're saying that if a person had coronavirus and you had a pre-existing condition and you die, it wasn't the pneumonia that killed you. It was coronavirus causing the pneumonia. People are now using that as a conspiracy theory. I just want to explain. I think they can understand the breaking in the house thing. Coronavirus with all these sick people are basically the equivalent of a person breaking in your house when you have a heart condition, scaring you.
Uh-huh.
And yes, it was a heart attack, but how did a heart attack happen?
Well,
the person that broke in the house.
Well, that and, but, you know, COVID-19 didn't exist before. It's a new thing that's killing people. It's new.
Yeah.
It's new. It's a new thing that's killing people that there's no known treatment for. Everything else we've kind of, if you have a heart condition, you know what you have to do to take care of yourself. If you're a smoker, you know that you should probably quit smoking. There's so many different health issues that people keep bringing up when it comes to the virus. And it's oh, well, obesity kills and this, that, and this. Yeah, but if, you know, there are guidelines set forth to try and keep yourself healthy. There are no guidelines in precedent here. To keep people healthy from this. That's where the fear is. And that's why people want to call it hysteria. And, you know, they get on us and say that we're feeding into the panic. Well, it's science. There's no proven cure for this. You can, even with something like cancer, there's management and treatments that they try and fight aggressive, you know, forms of cancer. But this is something that the world had never seen and couldn't get a hold of.
Yeah. You're battling with people on Twitter, I see. Yeah, you're in a battle.
It's been, they're mad at me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Anything I say, I think I just trigger everybody. I have no idea.
Well, it's anything any of us says. But you know what's what has come out of this? Actually, some pretty funny GIFs or GIFs and memes and little videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent you a video.
Yes,
and I don't know whether I should feel guilty about thinking this is funny or not.
Well,
you know the
she's
dilemma,
in on the joke.
The dilemma that it puts you in.
Yes. Well, she's in on the joke.
Well, it has
send
to
it
do.
To me.
Well, all right, I will send it to you. I was actually thinking of tweeting it, but I don't know.
Let me see.
It's a little risky to tweet, but the theme of it is husband and wife being cloistered for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And how you're dealing with it.
Yes.
And we had that discussion on the air and like how are things gone, and we take the temperature of people like every week.
Yeah, Friday we'll ask
and
again.
I thought this was really funny.
It is. For sure.
But I don't know if it's like I should feel guilty for thinking it's funny.
No, you shouldn't. She's on the joke.
All right, let's go to Jerome in Sicklerville. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Jerome?
All right. I'll say God, family, your fellow man, work, and then get the sports around there.
Your fellow man?
Sure. You always got to look out for your fellow man.
Yeah, I get not many people look out for their fellow man, though.
No, they don't.
In situations like this, and people that are flouting the rules here.
I heard your lift, your Philly lift there. Did you purposely forget Julius Erving?
Julius Erving had flaws. His tools were basically he played above the rim, but he wasn't a great shooter. He wasn't a great ball handler, but he wasn't a great defender.
We got him late, Mike. Can you imagine him playing for us in the early 70s when he was in the ABA?
Yeah, but still, he did one thing. He jumped over you, and that's how he was great. But he didn't have a handle or he didn't have a jump shot. I mean, I'm talking about like tools, natural tools of guys. You have to admit, he lacked some natural tools. He didn't play D at all. Well, he didn't. I love Doc. But there was one thing I loved about him. He rose above everybody else and dominated. But it wasn't like he outshot him or outhandled him.
Yeah, I guess you got to look at it that way. I don't like it, but I guess you got to look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I didn't put him on. I love him. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But the category is best tool, best combination of skills. And he doesn't make my top 10.
I'm glad to hear Andrew Tony. He was a great one.
Yeah, he had natural tools. All right, man. You have general knowledge question?
Yes, I would.
All right, U.S. states by clue. I'm going to give you a clue. Tell me what state I'm looking for. All right, the clue is purchased from Russia.
Purchased from Russia?
Yes.
Oh, man. What do you mean? The purchase from Russia?
This state was purchased from Russia.
Georgia?
Georgia? No. Well, I see where he went there because Georgia, there's a Georgia.
And he was in the USSR.
Yeah, USSR. USSR. But Alaska is the answer.
Yeah, I always wonder, you want to make a few dollars if we sell it back. Would that pay down the debt?
A lot of people that love being in Alaska.
I know, and listen, they could. We have to set up something where they could stay. No new people can move there.
So we're going to sell it back to Russia and just have Americans just live there?
They can still live there, but then no new people can move there.
They'd be under Putin?
No. It's kind of like when they sold the Playboy Mansion. They had to let Hef and them still live there till the end, and then they could take ownership. You set something up. There's some other states that I would sell.
It's like Ozark did that.
Yeah, I would sell.
The family bought the house, but it came with the man in Ozark.
Yeah, see? I would sell.
You watching Ozark?
I'm behind. Way behind. Right. I need to sell. I would sell off any. Idaho could possibly go. Montana.
Come on.
Either of the Dakotas.
What's wrong with those states? Yeah. It's a different lifestyle.
I don't mind the lifestyle, but I'm saying if we could get the money. Would we care? Like, I just wonder. Like,
selling states?
I'm just wondering.
For money?
Nat's a really nice person. So, would you really care? Would you be heartbroken if Idaho got sold?
I mean, I would kind of feel bad. It's been part of us.
Dude, I think this.
It's like when Pluto wasn't a planet anymore.
Peace, Pluto.
No.
I was upset. I'm not sentimental about those states the way I am about, I'll be upset if Washington, I'll be upset a lot of states. Georgia. I'd be upset.
Dude, I think this social distancing is getting to you.
It might be.
It's getting to all of us.
610-632-0975. Forget Brandon Graham coming up at 4:30. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:44 Mike Missinelli Show. By the way, it's Passover time. So, our Jewish listeners, happy Passover to you. Did you see the? It just pops up now. I don't know on my computer. Like little bits pop up, like YouTube bits.
Oh,
they open my computer and boom, a bit like on the mail area. I don't know why this is doing it, but like this routine, these comedy routines will pop up.
That's dangerous.
Maybe because I...
Oh, boy.
In YouTube itself?
You know, it's a YouTube bit that pops into my Google.
Well, maybe somebody turned on...
Like an alert.
Yeah, somebody turned on the alerts or whatever, the notifications.
Yeah.
Because that shouldn't happen.
No. But no. If they're not harmful. It's like this, this Sebastian Maniscalco routine on Passover.
Oh.
Which, because a friend of mine just texted me, so he must have got the same thing.
No.
Now he's talking about the food. Yeah. His wife's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Italian. And so when he goes over for Passover, he's talking about the lack of food.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Jewish folks are sensitive about their food choices. Because Maniscalco is saying all Passover should be catered by Italians.
Right? Yes, that's
so. Like,
huh?
Because he says he'd sit there, and I've never been to a Passover. But so Passover, apparently you read first.
Yeah,
yes. Right. You sit down and you read.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I'm Italian. As soon as I sit down, I need the bread with the olive oil.
So, yeah, like,
it was actually a funny bit, but I'm looking at it going, is this funny to Jewish people?
See, in all seriousness, Jewish people take the kosher, those that keep kosher,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take it very seriously.
Yeah.
But I rarely, and I know actually a decent amount of Orthodox Jewish people who keep kosher.
Uh-huh.
I never hear them talk about food tasting good.
I
hear about the lack of options.
I've had Passover food. It's delicious.
From one person. Like,
no.
I'm saying you have to, from how many people? 20 people?
What's an example of Passover food?
Passover food, they have like the matzah and the wine, and then they have like the sukkah and like all that stuff.
The what?
What's the sukkah?
Yeah, what is that?
Hold on, I don't know.
Kind of
exactly
skip right by it real fast. Wait,
you gave me the matzah and the wine?
That's not food.
That's what you got.
You
got
to have more than that.
You got a plate of meatballs and sausage?
No. But it's just a different tradition.
What are you doing?
Well, there's the Michael Solomonoff restaurant is one you consider one of the world's best now.
Yes.
That you just went to, Nat, right?
Yes. It's like the gefilte fish.
Yes, see?
I've
had kugel. I had a Jewish roommate. I had kugel, and I had kasha and bows.
I like a challah.
Brisket.
That's a nice bread.
Yeah, a brisket. Okay. But that's was that when you get Passover, a brisket?
Wait a minute,
yeah.
You can't do...
You start off... Sebastian Maniscalco's point is that the start-off point is not good.
Yeah, I got it.
But, you know, like from an Italian perspective, he goes over to the in-laws, and... and he said he needs bread to dip. He needs something to do with his right hand.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Each of the dinner items is symbolic.
Okay, yeah.
The only question
I get the symbolism. Is it good? Yeah. Is what I'm asking.
I want I don't know the rules right now with Passover, so mm-hmm. I apologize. But if they're allowed to call in, can they run down if by and large the food tastes good? I understand that they take it seriously and they keep a kosher kitchen. I get all of that. I'm just wondering, is it good or are they just getting through the meal?
Well, that's a great perspective. That's what I want to hear. Like, I would like some, because I like to learn about things. What is the, are you, do you enjoy the food or is it just ritualistic?
So I'm telling you, the stuff that I've had, I used to, when I worked at the University of Penn, one of the doctors there would bring me leftovers because I would ask for them just because I like to always try different foods. And it is delicious, whatever he would bring.
Oh, real fast. Somebody just sent me what's on a traditional Seder plate.
Okay.
All right. What so you got the bitter herb, which is often romaine lettuce. You got parsley or boiled potato for dipping in salt water. It's a word I can't pronounce, but it's a mixture of chopped nuts, apples, wine, and cinnamon. That doesn't sound bad. Hard-boiled egg, often roasted. Shank bone. And then bitter herb, often horseradish. Now, for vegans, they'll have flowers or seed to replace the egg on the plate. And for vegetarians, they'll have roasted beets to replace the shank bone. But the modern Seders.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm out right away.
Orange, olive, artichoke, and tomato in the modern Seder place. See, to me, I see the symbolism, but the person who sent me this just now did not say, this is delicious. That's my, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that, I don't know, but maybe it's not supposed to be. Maybe it's a discipline.
That's what, and that's what I tell you. Is it not supposed to be? Like, is it something you enjoy, or is it just ritualistic? Because, you know,
like the communion wafer, it's no good.
I'm out on that. I'm not a fan of the host. And I was just reading a story where they're giving away takeout hosts. Did you see this, Nat?
No, where?
You can get a takeout host at at church in a little like, you know, one of the things you get at a Chinese restaurant with the dipping sauce.
What, like
sauce
a fortune?
No, you get the host, but it's in the container. Sauce container.
That's resourceful.
Well, but that defeats the whole. This is like,
is it blessed?
Having baseball with no fans.
No, you got to still take your communion.
Is it blessed?
You still have to take your communion.
It's Easter, Mike.
You have to take communion.
The communion has to come from the holy man.
Yeah, but as long as you can't
give yourself the communion.
As long as it's blessed, I think God would understand. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
This is all watered down.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not watered down.
The sacraments never watered down.
Sports are watered down. Also, the sacraments and religion.
Just so I can tell a complete story, this is all from Doug.
The sacrament has to be with the
he's the one who blessed it. You think it's just random? Don't listen to Mike and then go take regular communion.
You might as well just spread eat a piece of bread.
Yeah.
But you can't take a host, a communion wafer, out of a little Chinese dipping sauce container and bless yourself. What does the priest say to you when he gives you the host?
I did. He says, oh, my God.
God be with you, right? Isn't God with you?
Yeah, but he can bless it ahead of time without the social distancing. You got to have social distancing.
You got to have the attachment to the holy man.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Do not listen to Mike.
The holy man is giving you the blessing when he gives you the host.
I did 12 years of school.
I'm not telling you, it's a fugazi way. Take out wafers. Fugazi.
It's not. It is not. Do not be a purist like Mike. You will spread corona. Literally, you will spread it if people listen to you.
So what's the difference with me putting the ash? It was a mortal sin when I put the ash on my head.
Because
the ashes were blessed. You're getting the host. You're giving yourself the host. What's the difference?
See, you got to stop. They weren't blessed directly to you. This person blessed it directly to the people.
Because they don't have access to it.
You were taking a shortcut.
The holy man blessed the ashes.
Yeah, but not for you. But not for you. You took somebody else's ashes, more or less.
The holy man blessed up the hosts. You take it home in a little Chinese container, and you take the host out, and you're administering the communion.
Yes, from the holy man directly. Now, someone stole it from you, and then they did it. Now it's not holy anymore. You took someone else's ashes. Where'd you get those ashes? Where you get
them? The ashes were on the altar. They were blessed.
Come on. Was the priest there?
No. The priest isn't there when you give yourself the host either. What's the difference?
No.
God understands circumstance. You chose not to go to church.
No.
These people are doing the right thing.
Baseball with no fans in the stands.
No, it's not. Giving yourself a communion. No, it's not. Now, before we go to break, I want to take care of the Jewish community. We weren't done. Real fast.
Uh-huh.
Brisket is usually the meal. This is all from Doug from NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Okay.
And matzo ball soup. That's the family. And this year, in keeping safe, they're doing a virtual Seder.
Oh, that's so nice.
Just so that everyone's safe, and that's what they're doing. Thank you, Doug. I needed Doug Brown helping us out here.
I got no problem with the virtual Seder. Well, what do we get from that? We get off the host. What's that supposed to do for me with the host conversation?
I just want to finish out
because there might be people who are saying we left it incomplete.
All right, you know that channel, EWTN, that airs Mass?
Yeah.
Mike, do you know that channel?
No.
No, all right. Well, my mother watches it.
Uh-huh.
And so there's EWTN. What if you go, you pick up your host that's already blessed, you go home, you watch the Mass on TV, and then you give it to yourself. How about that?
All right, so where are you? The hosts, what are they, all stacked up on a shelf? Like they're sweet peppers at a hoagie shop?
They might be
and
this
you
year.
You come into the church and you put a donation, you grab a little container? And Is that the way you do it?
I think public TV and public radio is carrying from what's the biggest...
The Vatican?
The one in Philly.
The cathedral.
Yeah, they're carrying it for the cathedral. You wait till he does it.
Yes. And then you go along with the Mass.
But what you don't do is go into the church with everybody.
So the priest will put the hand up towards the screen, and then you continue to process.
I think he'll just hold it up, like, in the air.
And then you do the same. And then you take your, you kneel down and you pray until he puts the host back into the sacristy or something.
You gonna go get your host now?
You know what?
To the church, you're gonna.
You better now.
My mother's probably listening, and now she's gonna make me
grab some sweet peppers.
See, this is all. Mike's not safe. I'm not glad if something falls. Yeah, Natalie's safe at home. If something falls on this building, I'm blaming you, Mike.
The sweet peppers in those little containers. They give you.
See, leaving us
4 o'clock hour. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.